This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Well, I don't know that we thought this would happen, Brock, but here we are, Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, and KJ Wright, of course, in the building for the KJ Wright Show every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and we've been having some fun talking to some friends of KJ over the course of the last few weeks. Nope. Brandon Mebane came on, and out, Malcolm Smith came on, which was great, but today you got a special guest for us.
Hey, I got to do this introduction properly. Yes. We have a legend coming in the building, coming straight out of Compton. Making his way to the prestigious Stanford University, drafted in the greatest draft class ever, the 2011 draft class, in the fifth round to the Seattle Seahawks, five-time Pro Bowler, five-time All-Pro, husband, father, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in Richard Sherman. Sherman, what up, Beth?
Woo! What up, Beth?
Yes, sir. How you living, man?
You know, always better when I'm talking to you, brother.
No doubt, no doubt. Thank you, man. I got to ask you, Sherman. We came in together, got 11 years. We went out together. Now we're on the other side, man. I had a moment yesterday. How are you enjoying the other side without football?
I'm having a blast, Ken. It's the easiest job I've ever had in my life. I can just talk the game. I don't got to cover nobody. I ain't got to stop nobody. I just got to critique people and tell people how it should be done.
Yeah, now, Sherman, when you do critique people, are you getting a little pushback with the fellas? Are they like, that's the OG, whatever Sherman says, that's how it is.
I mean, you don't get much pushback. You know what I mean? Got the credentials. You know what I mean? Got the resume. I wish you would.
Yeah.
You know? You can't critique Tom Brady. That's about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, Sherman, I got to ask you, man. I think you know this, but I want to make sure that you fully understand this, that when it comes to the city of Seattle, you are truly loved here, and people look at you like you are a living legend, man. I just hope you understand that. But just tell me, man, when you take it back, explain what was that experience like playing in Seattle, playing with your brothers, and just playing in, like, the Legion of Boom days for this franchise?
Well, it was a blast, Dan. You know that. You know, every game we had a routine. You know, I had to tell Ken that we was in here again. It was a blast, you know. The brotherhood, it was, you know, it went by in a flash.
It did.
You know, a lot of discipline, a lot of heartache, a lot of headache, a lot of sacrifice from a lot of people. And that's what people don't understand. You know what I mean? People also don't understand I almost played for Sylvester Croom in Mississippi State.
Hey, you should have came down to Starkville now. Yeah.
Sherm, we sure appreciate this, man. Thank you for hopping on with Salk and I and KJ, who has just been an absolute star for us this year. Best hour of our week is every Wednesday when KJ comes in with us. But KJ did share. He said, you know, yesterday he had one of those moments where he was down, where it just kind of hit him that he's not playing football anymore, and he had to go to the VMAC and hang with his guys. Your first year out, have you had any of those kind of moments? Like, man, this is a very different world than the one I did for the previous two decades.
Well, not a ton, but mostly because I'm around the game every week. You know, I'm still in the stadiums. I'm still, you know, dealing with the crowds and dealing with the teams and talking to the players. And so you get a bit of it. You know, I still hang out with a lot of the guys and that we've had, you know, relationships with. You know, we go to lunch, go to dinners, play basketball on Sundays. You know what I mean? So I get a bit of that. But I think that's the only reason why is because I've still been in the stadiums and around the game, and you get the smells of the locker room and the conversations and, you know, things like that.
Yep. And Sherman, we got a big time matchup. We got the Niners this week, man. I remember getting that phone call when you were leaving, when you were getting released and coming off your Achilles. That hurt. Can you explain, like, what led to your departure, leaving Seattle, and what was it about the Niners? Like, I want to go play for this franchise and, you know, take on my eighth year in the NFL.
Well, Kenneth got fired. You know how that. It was my day off. You know, just like Friday. You got fired on your day off.
Yeah.
And getting fired wasn't the worst part. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Coming off the Achilles, you know, major injuries, you know, it's like insult to injury when they fire you in the middle of rehab.
Yeah.
And so then it's kind of like, it's kind of purposeful. You know what I mean? It's kind of like they're trying to put you behind the eight ball. Honestly, when the news first came down the wire, San Francisco and Lynch was the first to call. I mean, literally, the moment they could, the moment it was legal for them to communicate, I mean, 12 a.m. that night. they call.
Right, right, right.
And so, to have that kind of, you know, to have a team, you know, mm-hmm. that obviously didn't want you, mm-hmm. you know, that you had sacrificed for, that you had, you know, battled for all this time, and then a team that just had a different respect and appreciation for you, you know, to call you as soon as it happened,
yeah.
with all the circumstances, you know what I mean? You have a certain respect for that. It's like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's like, all right. Yo, appreciate that.
And Sherm, you was representing yourself. There's no agent to call. They talking to Richard Sherman. What is it like sitting at that table negotiating millions and millions of dollars face-to-face coming off of an Achilles injury?
I think it's more intimidating for the teams than it is the players.
Really?
You know, I think that I had a good time. You know, it was me, mm-hmm. my wife. You know, yeah. I had a few lawyers to look over the deals. But it was a good time, man. It was a good time. You learn a lot. You deal with the PA a lot. You deal with the lawyers a lot and just deal with a lot of verbiage. But what you find out is there's a lot of standard verbiage in a lot of these contracts. So it's not a ton of work. It's not a ton of, like, maneuvering, especially when you have an established player, an established value.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like, you know, you got the injury and you got to work around that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always a means to an end. You know what I mean? It's a way to get there.
Yep.
You know the voice, Richard Sherman, with us here on Seattle Sports on 710. When you went elsewhere, first to San Francisco and then Tampa, what did it teach you or what did you learn about the differences between those places and what you had seen here in Seattle?
Well, first off, I remember when I exited here and I remember some words from you.
Yeah.
That were a lot different than I had heard when I was here. So, you know what I mean? It's a little different. I'm going to answer the questions from Brock and KJ, but we're going to excuse you out of this.
First of all, that's just not true. I mean, like, the words you heard from me were actually pretty similar to what you had heard while you were here. You just maybe didn't hear them.
Yeah, because I don't listen to your show. But
again, that's fine. I'm not asking you to listen, but the words didn't change. I didn't say anything different when you left from when you were here.
You're excused from the interview.
All right.
Well, sorry. Doesn't
really work that way, Sherm. This is, you know, a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does. It kind of does, though.
No, not really how this works, man.
Sherm, for your dog.
That's the only reason I'm here, because of KJ.
Well, right? I appreciate that, but...
The man thinks he can...
If you've got an issue, you can feel free to talk about it.
KJ, not because of you.
Well, I understand that. If you've got an issue, I'm happy to talk through those with you, man. If you've got a problem, it's something you want to talk about.
I got it. Yeah, real quick. Let's last question here. Sherm, when you see this matchup, Niners versus the Seahawks, Shanahan versus Coach Carroll, what are you predicting when you're on the sidelines Thursday night?
Well, I predict Geno's going to have his hands full. The O-line will be, you know, obviously the 49ers defense, the run defense, you know all the rankings. But mm-hmm. he has the receivers. He has the capability to play better. I remember the first time they played him after the game, Pete was like, hey, I didn't unleash Geno. I didn't let him throw the ball down the field. That's my mistake. That's on me. And ever since then, Geno's been on fire. So that'll be cool to see, you know, mm-hmm. how that changes the matchup. Defensively, they got to stop the run, man. They've given up like 200 yards a game over the past four. So that has to change.
Yep.
You know, it has to get fixed. And I keep telling people they need to go back to 8 in a box and just, you know, let the corners. They got good corners. Yep. Let them stand up and let them do their job.
Go to Frisco. Go to Boston.
Exactly.
Let's play ball.
And let's play ball. Gap sound out. Al Woods, he's killing in there, but you waste him because you trying to do this two-gap stuff. And, like, let everybody own their gaps and – let them play.
Let's
it
go
won't
play
be
fast.
200 yards a game.
Let's go play fast. And so your prediction is going to be a tough matchup. And what you see when it comes to Shanahan, I played the man. He was tough. What do you see offensively and what he's going to try to do to the Seahawks team?
Well, he's going to try to run the ball because he's seen that work. You know, they're going to do inside zone. They're going to do mid zone. They're going to run a lot of the plays that Seattle has struggled against.
Yep.
You know, it's a copycat league.
Yep.
So you see him struggling with something, you're going to see it again.
Yep. And defensively, they're going to be the same with Geno. Just back in, they're going to do their thing, stop the run, make Geno beat them. Yep.
Yeah, they're going to make Geno beat them. I mean, the Seahawks just haven't been running the ball well either.
Yeah.
The time of possession, they've been almost getting doubled. That's why Geno, you know, people are like, what's happened to Geno? Well, the other team has 40 minutes. He has 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? It's not as much. He's going to be able to do.
And I hope they pay the man after the season. I believe he has earned it, so we shall see when free agency hits what they do with him.
Hey, Sherm, can I just say one thing, man? You guys had an amazing brotherhood. right? We just heard it, and we're still feeling it, still hear it with you and KJ and all the guys. They're all going to be in the Ring of Honor and everything together. Salky and I have had a brotherhood for 14 years. And I understand it. You can have beef, not like some of the things that he has said. And but I think you'd also ask KJ, who spent 13 weeks with us. And I think KJ would tell you, like, Rich, he's pretty good. I mean, he's pretty good at this job, pretty good at what he does.
I can respect all that. But what I can't respect is the man is what he said. So if I don't have a respect for him, and I'm not going to deal with it.
What is
and
it?
I came on the show to deal with KJ. I would have never come on this show.
What is it that you're upset about? What comment without are you KJ. Upset about?
So without KJ being on the show, I'd never come on the show.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, all right. Well, thanks
sorry,
for coming
sorry,
on.
I appreciate you,
I'm
man.
Sorry it didn't go the way it could have, but there you go. There is Richard Sherman. Who apparently is thinking about me more than I would have guessed. Richard Sherman joining us there, and it's uncomfortable. I'm not gonna lie. That's an uncomfortable moment that I wasn't necessarily expecting. But what are you gonna do,
KJ? What is that? What do you think? What do you? We know Richard. I mean, he is to the end. He's gonna fight. You know, you told a story earlier this year in that Atlanta game where he's just not. You know, if he's got his mindset. What do you think that is right there? What did Salk? Because Salk, I don't know if you said anything that I didn't say or anybody else didn't say, right?
I mean, any time that I bring my brothers on this show, I want it to be good. Like, I do this because I love it. I want to bring my guys on here to talk football and reminisce about the good old days. And so I never want them to come on the show and it to be like that.
Right.
Like,
right.
I did not want that to happen.
Yeah.
And, I believe, like, when it comes to you, Salk, I mean, you're in a position to where you voice your opinions. And I remember when I first came across Salk, I was like, who is this guy making all of these opinions? Who does he think he is? And I had that moment via Twitter. That's when I first encountered you. Mm. And then I met you in person. We met at the event. And I was like, okay, you know, he cool, he chill. And you'd asked me to come on the show. And I was like, okay, let me give this guy a shot. And ever since we've been on the show, you've voiced your opinions, you stated it, didn't always agree, but this is what comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. And so that definitely sucked.
Well, and I get it, man. Look, it happens in this business. I mean, like, you are going to make people mad, unfortunately, and I'm not ashamed of that. I don't, you know, if he could point to something that he said, that I said, that he felt was unfair, look, I'm happy to go back, and I've said I'm sorry and rethought things I've said over the years. It is challenging to talk for 4 hours a day and some of the things you say, and sometimes later you regret them.
Yeah.
I've said some things about Sherm that I think are critical, and I don't take really any of them back. I mean, I do think that he was a Rule 1 violator. I do think that the things he said about Pete Carroll were unfair at the time. I do think that he was somebody who wouldn't take responsibility for his own actions at times. And I had no intention of bringing that stuff up today. I wasn't interested in a gotcha interview with Richard Sherman. I mean, I can show you my notes. I could print these and put them out there. I mean, you and I texted a little bit beforehand. I was curious about his time here and, you know, his great moments. And if there was anything he regrets, it doesn't sound like there is just based on that. But it's a bummer. I'm sorry he feels that way. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know that anything I would have said would have been personal, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I try not to name call and that type of stuff. And if I did, geez, I would certainly want to take that back. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, Sherm's a polarizing figure, just as I can be at times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you are polarizing and when you say things that not everybody else are willing to say, mm-hmm. it's going to draw a level of brushback, certainly when there's criticism from someone. And look, I get it. I never played the game. Not at that level. I mean, I played in the worst high school football league in the country. We went 0-7, right? I mean, like, we were terrible, and I was not a particularly good player. I get that frustration. Mm-hmm. But that's the gig. I mean, like, we talk about sports, and we talk about what the players are doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a bummer. I'm sorry he feels that way, but I guess I'm also not that surprised.
Yeah, and I think even with Brock, like, you're in a position yourself. Like, even you're a former player, but you voice opinions. If you had instances where, you know, you've had guys block you, like, oh, I don't like Brock. What is Hewitt got to say now? Oh, he's a big mouth.
Well, you're gonna learn this, KJ. You're gonna learn it. Quick little story time. And I didn't think this would be the avenue that we would go down, But you'll learn this the more that you want to do this. And KJ, I'll break news on you. Like, my agency reached out to me yesterday and said, hey, this KJ Wright guy is pretty good, huh?
No kidding.
Yeah, I said, he's really good. So I don't know, you know, where all this will take you down the road, but you're going to do this for a while. And the longer you do it, you're going to come across these moments where you're like, okay, am I going to really share what I feel here, or am I going to protect myself?
Yeah.
Am I really going to put this out here, or you know what, is there just, you know, more harm than good that can be done with sharing this story or sharing this opinion? I had a football coach 1 year later. So I'm doing a game and it's the end of the game. It's Michigan versus somebody else. I don't want to totally share the name and everything, but it was an amazing game. And they get down to the 1 yard line. I'm like, well, assuredly you're going to run the ball. They've just ran it 14 times.
Yeah.
You're going to learn from Marshawn Lynch. You're going to run the ball. And they don't run it. It's incomplete. It was a great play. The guy's open. So fast forward 1 year later, I go into that coach's office, and he just did what Richard did. Like, this is a college coach, and I'm trying to ask some questions, and he is icing me. Like, yep. I'm like,
not talking to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what? What is going on? You know, and I'm kind of looking at my producer, and he's kind of, you know, play by play. Like, and finally, I just had to say to him, like, hey, coach. Like, is this about last year? He's like, yeah, it's about last year. Wow. You thought we should have run the ball. I'm like, coach, it was a great play. He's like, was he open? I'm like, yeah, he was open. Yes, but I'm paid up there in that moment to give you my opinion, to give you my gut, to give you my instinct. And it may be wrong. It may be wrong.
Yeah.
And you may have thrown it and won the game.
And Brock, I guess that's why I'm willing to not get upset at Sherm right now. And he has every right to be mad.
Yep.
If I have every right to comment on what he says and or what he does, he's got every right to be mad at me, which is why I don't take that personally, even though it is a sort of personal comment.
Yeah.
He's mad at being criticized. He thinks that I was, you know, more insulting or whatever after he left than when he was here, which I don't know if that's entirely true. I mean, you know, I think some of those same criticisms started while he was here and certainly, you know, continued after that. But look, I get it. I'm not mad at him. I get that. I totally understand why he would feel that way. He gets to.
So when you're doing this job, is there a way that the delivery can be better when it comes to critique?
Well, here's the best thing that I'd ever heard, KJ. And I think, Salk, you were there at the breakfast we had with a consultant. Okay. Rick Scott. Great guy. Been at it for decades. Or maybe we were at that good deli in Factory. I think that's where we were. And I asked him that exact question. And he said, well, I don't think there's a perfect answer. Mm. And I was like, that's pretty good. Like, are you willing to say, because a lot of people at times, and you'll find this, KJ, and some that will just mouth it into a microphone, but be totally unwilling to say it to their face. Mm-hmm. And that guy you're sitting next to, KJ, right there, he would be willing to say everything that he said about Sherm, whatever those things were at the time, right? A Rule 1 violator, calling out Daryl Bevel, calling out Kumbaya meetings, calling out Pete, scorched earth. He would have said any of that right to his face. Which is remarkable, and why actually Richard, you know, those two are wired somewhat similar.
I Richard, think that's probably true.
Because Richard would say it right to people's face, and he said it to your face, KJ, right? And he said it to Pete's face.
I'd be both a Rule 1 and a Rule 2 violator, though, because I could definitely want, what is it, no whining, no complaining, no excuses?
Yeah.
I'm definitely a whiner and a complainer sometimes, so I feel like I'd be a Rule 2 violator. Yeah,
so you'd be willing, KJ, to say it right to their face, which I think if Sheldon Richardson heard your comments earlier this year, you'd have said, like, yeah, Sheldon, like, you didn't do your job, and it made my job harder.
And that's a good comp. I think if Sherm was here, though, he'd say, yeah, KJ can say that to Sheldon Richardson because they both played the game together, and Salk, you're a talking head, and you don't get to talk that way about me.
Yeah.
And I'm putting words in his mouth. Maybe that's not what he would say, but my guess is that's what he would say.
Yeah. And so we fast forward to bringing Doug Baldwin.
Wow, well, is that going to be worse?
Yes.
Me knowing, listen, I'm a smart guy.
Yeah.
I know my brothers very well. What I just went through for about 4 or 5 minutes.
You don't want to do that again.
I'm not going to sit through 60 minutes of that.
And I'm not going to sit through
60 minutes of that.
And I don't blame you. That seemed very uncomfortable. And by the way, I'm sorry that you had to deal with that. Great. So you and I have made each other very uncomfortable over the course of this show this year.
You guys are like trauma bonded.
I know. Man. Yeah. I'm sorry about that, KJ. I didn't think it would go that way. So my apologies. Mm-hmm. To you. The difference I would hope, and it doesn't mean that it's going to happen or that it should or that you should go through that. I don't feel a need to apologize to Richard Sherman because I don't feel like anything I said was wrong. he may not like it, but I don't think that it was necessarily out of line. Yeah. I think that I've said some things about Doug that I've learning over the course of the last year may have been flat out based on bad information and mm-hmm. bad takes on my own part. Mm-hmm. And I would be willing to pass along. I don't need to talk to him. I'm willing to pass along that feeling, though. And if you feel like being an intermediary, I'd be happy for you to do that. And if you don't, that's fine also.
Yep. Yep.
I feel like I've learned quite a bit in the last year about the Seahawks during that time. And because of it, I feel differently about things Doug said, did, etc. Yep. And because of that, I would be willing to say I'm sorry. I would be willing to say I think I got this wrong. I don't necessarily feel that way about Sherm, and I think he just kind of proved why.
Yeah, and I believe that in the midst of conflict, in the midst of even in life, and even in like in general, you could have conflict with somebody, but what makes you get over the conflict is the relationship mm-hmm. between the players. And I feel like these guys don't know you.
True.
They don't know who is Mike Sauer. They look at you as like a guy that's on the radio mm-hmm. that's just talking and bashing us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that if I came on the show and said the same exact thing, like, okay, I know KJ, I may not like it. Like that's some BS what you said about me, but we can overcome this.
Because you got a relationship.
And we could talk as men and mm-hmm. just we can move past this.
Well, it's interesting because one of the other alphas on that defense we've done that with. Right. And that being Bobby Wagner,
mm-hmm. yep.
who, you know, I'm sure. And I know. And Bobby had a hard time and he said it right to my face. I was in a production meeting, KJ, before one of the preseason games. And Bobby's like, yeah, basically, I'm not going to talk to some of the people in this room. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from. But, you know, then you DM and then you actually make a call and you're like, you know what? I'm going to call him and I'm going to talk to him because we're grown men and we can talk through this.
Yeah.
But I think with Sherman there, and he said it right at the beginning. So he's like, when we asked him, or KJ, you asked him, hey, man, how are these guys handling your criticism? Because he gets on there, yep. and he does what he's paid to do, to be an opinionist. And what was his answer? Well, man, I got the cred. Like, I got the – I got mm-hmm. When you're one of the greatest to ever do it, you know, like, yeah, they may not like it, but they respect my opinion because I did it.
Yep.
And that's where I think you got to be careful too. And you know what? The man that passed away yesterday at 61 in Starkville, Mississippi, that man never played a down of college football. That man never played football, mm-hmm. right? But he was an unbelievable influencer in his mind, in his brain, and shaping the game and the air raid that he brought and the impact for decades. So if all you're going to base people on is, well, if they've been there and done it, then I'm going to show them respect. If they haven't, like, yeah, hollow words. Be careful because yep. there's some of the greats to ever do it that never played a down at the collegiate or professional level as well.
Yeah, yeah. And so yeah, learning lesson. I think for myself and for
what is it called, Justin? A trauma bond? Is that what we just all had?
A trauma bond.
What is that? What is a?
You just both go through a traumatic experience, and now you're bonded.
Because this is, you know, the beauty and the unbeauty of this. This is live. Like, dang! I was like, babe. I was like, babe.
You handled it with grace as always.
Yeah. Yes.
And I started mumbling. I like asking the same question twice. I was like, what do I say next?
KJ, you're a rock star, man. Thank you.
You are.
Again, sorry that you went through that. That was not certainly anybody's intent. But, you know, these things happen. That's part of the game.
Mara, who won? Who won the tickets? Let's move to that. Who won the tickets?
Somebody named Richard. It's very strange.
His name was Scott and Washugal. But the only reason he won these tickets is because a guy named Colin in Auburn said he would be unable to go. He wanted to pass the Christmas miracle on to someone.
He called in but then didn't want to go?
Realized, he's like, oh, it's the first. He's like, I'm still traveling. I'm so sorry. You know what? Christmas spirit, you give it to somebody else. So Colin,
what a stud.
Very nice.
Scott, who won in Washugal.
All right. Well,
thanks, KJ.
Thank you, KJ. We'll do better next week.
This is when you and Salk spit in each other's mouth or you cut each other's blood.
We've become blood brothers. You never know what'll go from here. We're going to regroup. We'll be right back. It is Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.